Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is Spotsylvania Social Services in this morning. Always good topics when they are here. And this morning, we're going to talk about long-term care. And I will say, before we even get into the conversation, this is not the conversation I thought. I'm going to learn a whole lot about long-term care and the work with Spotsylvania Social Services. Amy Swift, the department director, is here. Amy, it's good to have you back this morning. Good morning.
I'm happy to be back. Thank you for having us.
It's almost spring, and it's good to have you. I think I last saw you in the fall or winter, so it's good to have you here this morning. Mark Travis is here, the long-term care supervisor. Mark, it's great to meet you and have you come in this morning.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
I'll start with you. We'll kind of get to know you. How did you get with Spotsylvania Social Services?
I worked at previous social services before I came here in 2020. I was a supervisor in the Piedmont region of Virginia, so I was blessed to come here in 2020 and have a job here at Spotsylvania.
Wow, you came in 2020. What a time to come. Did you come before COVID or during COVID?
During COVID, and I walked into the building and it was a ghost town. I could not believe it. Big building like that and hardly anybody around.
Yeah.
Wow, I am sure then what you did, I mean, you have, because what you had did in COVID, that would be a whole show of how your offices operated then, because so much of what you do is dependent on communicating with families and people.
Right.
And you couldn't do that.
Yeah, it was a challenge. It was a whole lot of recreating and reimagining how to engage with the community during COVID.
Yeah. So, Mark, for you guys, you learned COVID protocols, and once things have opened up over the years, you've learned that, so you've seen it all.
I've seen it all from started back in the mid 90s, so different computer systems, different people, different ways of thinking, different policy. Indeed, I have seen it all from COVID to post COVID, which is referred to as unwinding for Medicaid purposes.
Getting involved with social services, how did you get involved? How did you choose that for a career?
I really must say I just fell into it. I went by to see my mom one day. She worked at a nursing home, which was in Lynchburg, which was combined with social services. And the director there offered me a job of taking the cars to the car wash. That's how I got my start in social services right there. Very humble beginnings. And if you talk to the other supervisors, for the most part, very humble beginnings across the board with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I was going to say, that really is. When you think about social services in all the areas, you just have to have a care and a love for people and want to help them.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It gets in your blood.
And that's, I think, Amy, over the few years that you and I have been consistently doing shows, that's what I have really learned about social services. You all have really, no matter what the topic, a real care for people. That it's not, social services isn't the hammer, I think, that a lot of us go into and think, oh, right. Social services.
Yeah, and that really is part of the reason we started, you know, reaching out to you, was to get communication to the community about what we do, how we do it, and who we are, because there was this, you know, image of we are the hammer. And we wanted people to understand that we have so much more to us than the negative persona that really gets out there in the media. And I think we've shown that in each segment. We're only talking about one specific program. And there's so much in those one individual programs that it can fill a whole hour with you. And that we have, you know, dozens of programs that we do that offer for the community. So I'm glad that you let us come here and talk about it.
Oh, this is great, because it is. I mean, today will be no different. Of learning something that's going on and really needed in the community.
Absolutely, and you know, we now have a very large aging community, and we talk about this in Spotsylvania, especially that we see that the aging population is growing, and this is Mark's wheelhouse, so he knows a lot more about, you know, the specifics than I do, but in that, and this is also why it's important to get this message out, that there's a lot of support systems for the aging community, and not just for those who are aging, but for the families who are helping them, and you know, trying to find resources for them and caring for them. And so It's important that people are aware of what their community offers.
Oh, absolutely, because like you say, and especially when you get thrown into something like this, as a family, you don't often know, and you may know just a few little terms, but there's so much more, and that's what we'll get into today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I'll take a quick break and jump into this. Amy Swift and Mark Travis here this morning from Spotsylvania Social Services. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFV.
It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
Mark Travis and Amy Swift in this morning from Spotsylvania Social Services. We are talking about long-term care. And I guess, Mark, we'll start off by just defining long-term care. This is where I all of a sudden started looking at some of these topics and thought, this is way more than just a nursing home
situation. Long-term care, it's a facet of Medicaid. It's based on several criteria, non-financial criteria, then financial criteria and resource criteria. You know, there's several facets to it. And like you say, it just doesn't encompass the nursing homes. There's also in-home care. There's several waivers. There's PACE. So there's several facets to a program here. Very complex.
So because it's so complex, and because I just think of this, you know, a lot of us who start dealing this with as parents age, to kind of get ready for the, you know, so you're not all of a sudden trying to figure this out, you know, at the moment. I guess some researchers, you know, learn about what's available is probably a good first step.
Oh, it is. And if there's ever any questions, I would always advise to reach out to your local Department of Social Services. We have well-trained staff that is you know, eager to have a discussion with everybody about that. And it's a complex thing, not just on our end, but from the family's end, you know, about the emotional health that we're trying to maintain. And it's like you said, it's not just about going into a nursing home. It's about maintaining them in the home so that they can stay home and maintain those connections that they have with the community and have that emotional well-being by staying at home as long as possible. It's not just about going straight away to a nursing home.
And I guess probably in your case with what you do, you're trying to work with families, talk to them, see what meets their needs and what they're able to do.
Oh, yes, absolutely. There is a screening process, which is done by another division within social services that evaluates the family member to see what their needs are. It's kind of like a report card based on a report card scoring. You know, it's recommended nursing home placement or to stay in a community but with some supports within that community.
So at the very beginning, when I see that this is a path or, you know, we need more, you know, my family needs more information, would we contact your office to start?
Oh, absolutely. That is the place to start. People are welcome to Google information if they want to, but just like Amy said, sometimes, you know, we don't get the proper information that you can Google. So I do recommend you reach out to the local department. You will get the straight scoop on any kind of information there. We can advise you of what the appropriate next steps are. We can also advise you of inappropriate next steps, you know, such as giving, you know, some of the resources away, which may come back to haunt you, so to speak, as an uncompensated asset transfer. So there's several things, and a conversation never hurts. You know, talking is free. So I do advise anybody with any kind of questions or concerns to reach out to us. More than happy to speak to anybody. We have well-trained staff that is immersed in policy as well as very empathetic. So, you know, it's always good to have a conversation first.
One of the things that Mark touched on about bad advice is what sometimes happens is people hear, well, you can't have this much resources. So you can't have, you know, a house that is valued at this much in your bank account. And so they take that advice and they get rid of it. They send it, you know, give it to a person or sell something or, you know, just get rid of it. Well, that in the end is going to make them ineligible because you have now transferred that for the purpose to become eligible, and that makes you ineligible. And so that's bad advice sometimes that families get that put them in a really bad position when they do come and need help now, and now we can't help them.
That is so interesting because I have heard that. And you can see where you might think, well, that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, but it ends up biting them in the end.
Well, and again, like you mentioned, Mark, about, you know, you can Google some of this stuff. This is sort of like Googling when you get a medical diagnosis. And all of a sudden, you know, things aren't
right.
Like you said, this is a very similar thing. It's better to talk to people. Mm-hmm. And especially in this case, if you're in Spotsylvania, talk to social services. You're going to know what's available, and you can kind of, you know, lay out the, you know, the lay of the land.
And absolutely.
I think the ideal time to come in and talk to us is 10 years before you think you're going to be caring for your aging parents.
That was one of my questions.
Yes. Come and talk to us and tell us, what is it going to look like in 10 years when I need this, and what do I need to have in place? Because, you know, if you do have all of these resources that are going to limit you 10 years down the road, well, now's the time to be thinking, what's the best way to utilize these resources to support my parents so that they're in a position that's good?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how far out should I do this? Because the worst time would be when we're looking at maybe the next month, we need to do something, because then there probably are things that you just can't do.
Yeah. And, you know, I would advise any family member, if you know that you're going to be the, you know, power of attorney or sole caretaker of any person in your life when they become aged, now is the time to get educated on what the resources are going to be available to them, what are the resources going to be available to you, and what are the requirements to be eligible for those resources.
Absolutely. Give us a shout. We'll be happy to talk to you. And just like Amy said, 10 years before, probably a good time to start getting into the right headspace on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to learn. And like you said, just to get power of attorney and those kinds of things. Because sometimes that takes a while.
Right.
To get. Well, and when you mentioned about long-term care, Mark, and talked about, you know, in-home personal care, adult day services, assisted living, nursing care, Medicaid waiver services. Those are all terms that we don't deal with every day. It's probably good to learn, as Amy said, learn about all of those. Learn what's available. Learn what's not. You know, and be to the point where you look at those and you've got a grasp of what they're all about.
You're exactly right, and that's part of the conversation, is getting accustomed to the lingo that will be thrown at you at a certain point. You're going to be exposed to these terms, these phrases, and having familiarity with what they mean, what the definition of them is very important to that process.
And I just realized, I keep saying aging. Long-term care services isn't just for the aging population. It's for any individual who needs a certain level of care.
That is right. That's based upon the screening that I mentioned earlier. If the report card, so to speak.
Yeah.
If you're determined to meet those needs on that report card, you don't have to be aged. You know, disability is one of our facets as well. And, you know, it's also for children under the age of 18. So it is based upon that screening that occurs.
So is that screening done through your office? Do you do that?
For the adults, it is. For the children under 18, that screening is performed through the health department.
Okay. So again, I did not know even that's a help, because I guess after a person goes through the screening and you see where they stand, then you're able to, you know, sit down and start advising them of you know, what's ahead and what they should start thinking about.
Yes, sometimes they come in before the screening and we can recommend the screening be done, but we can already engage at this phase. Regardless of what the screening says, we can start building that familiarity, because perhaps if the screening isn't going to justify long-term care Medicaid right now, perhaps, you know, in 5 years your situation could change, but yet you already have that familiarity with the terms, the phrases, and have a little bit, you know, better headspace on what you're going to be up against.
But one of the things that kind of just jumps out as we talk about this is just having your office there to do what you do, because you can tend to feel really alone in trying to figure this out and overwhelmed
and isolating. Yes, we do We hear people say that all the time. And so it is so much putting at ease to have someone come in and sit down and actually talk to someone. It is just worth its weight in gold sometimes what we can offer to the public.
Yeah, the isolating thing, because you just think, I don't know where to turn, and to have someone say, oh yeah, especially if I come in and have several things that just seem daunting to me, and for you, Mark, to be able to say, oh yeah, this is how we deal with that, this is how we deal with that, you all of a sudden realize this isn't just a me problem, this is, you know, others are dealing with it too.
That's exactly right, and there's several steps to this, and like I said, we have well-trained staff that can help people with each and every step along the way. And even if you're turned down now, you've gained exposure to the policy, to the people, to the situation, and you're more empowered the next time, if there is a next time that you have to come in.
So I certainly do not understand all of the facets and the ins and outs of Medicaid. And just the fact when you say Medicaid, you just feel like, bureaucracy. And,
yes.
And difficulties. Do a lot of these services depend on qualifying for Medicaid, or are you dealing with things before Medicaid?
They do depend upon qualifying for Medicaid. We can still have a conversation, and we can still recommend external supports mm-hmm. that are, you know, out in the community. But for what we're talking about today, it does hinge upon being eligible for Medicaid to avail yourself of the nursing home services and the in-home services through Medicaid.
As far as like the services, like because we hear, but again, these are sometimes you hear things, and as Amy said, they're not you both of you said they're not always true, because you often hear that it's like as far as nursing home facilities, we need more in this area, and sometimes you may need to look outside the area.
Yes, that is true. I've, on the news before, we've talked about the growth of that since America is aging. Spotsylvania is no exception to that.
Yeah.
There does need to be some growth in that area and for quality care. And also the point of staying in home, you know, that allows you to stay in home longer and still have those supports at home instead of, you know, going to a nursing home right off the bat.
Right. And I guess that ideally you all work to be able to try to keep people as home as long as you can. But if the families want that, the person probably wants
yes,
that.
Yes, the impact of staying at home, the emotional well-being, the staying tied to the community, staying connected to your family, all those just pay dividends in the long run for emotional health and well-being.
I would think, Mark, what you do in your staff in the office, boy, you have one of those jobs where it must be hard sometimes to leave it at the office and go home, because you're dealing with some really tough situations.
It is very difficult, and sometimes it can take a toll on staff. But overall, you know, there's a fairly good work-life balance, and our director, Amy, reinforces that all the time with us. So I think there's a good headspace to be in for both a worker and a citizen of the community. So I think there's a balance that we can strike there. But it can be draining, and it can take a toll on you, but you know, the work-life balance that Amy always stresses helps us to leverage that.
Boy, on the other side, though, when you're able to help a person, what a great feeling that is to have a family. And it's never perfect, because you're dealing with aging relatives that can be so difficult to see. But when you can help, you know, broker a solution, mm-hmm. that's got to be really great.
It is. I mean, talk about the endorphins. They really kick in.
Yeah.
And it is a good feeling. When I was a worker, you know, I experienced that as well, being able to help somebody. I still remember to this day, over 30 years ago, the very first two long-term care Medicaid cases that I worked up. I remember their names. I remember everything about them.
Yeah, long-term care casework is a lot different than the other programs. In the deep dive that you have to do with the families, and it can feel very invasive, the verifications that we have to get.
Yeah.
And you know, we're getting into your business, and it takes a special kind of worker to work those types of cases and to work with those families and engage with those families while doing all of those very personal asks, and they do a really good job. Yeah.
I'm very proud of my team. very proud.
I never thought of that. You're right, though. When I think of just with my own family, you mm-hmm. are having to disclose everything.
Yes.
What's in your bank? What did you spend it on? And, you know, that's... Why should I have to tell you what I spent my
that
money on?
Basic,
you know?
Yes.
So they are. They're hard questions we have to ask, and but they do it in a way that is received well for the most part, and they're good at what they do.
And it's in so many, almost in all cases, I guess it's a sad situation because you are dealing with aging. And
yes,
we're all going to be there,
mm-hmm.
and but like you said, Amy, start thinking about this.
Yeah,
the time to think about it and to talk about it
is now.
That is important to start having that conversation now. Like I say, it'll put you in the right headspace later on down the road. It'll really pay dividends to start engaging now with things that you think will be coming down the pike soon.
So if I'm looking at this and thinking, okay, you know, I'm about at that, you know, more or less at that 10-year sort of thing, do I just call your, who do I call? I wouldn't know. It's one thing to say, get in touch with us. I wouldn't know who to call. I mean, I guess I would call social services and say, what would you just ask for, you know, to talk about? I've got an aging parent or an aging aunt that I'm in charge of.
Yes, we have well-trained staff out front. Once you mention that, they will exactly know where to route you into, and they will route you into the right kind of worker to start having a discussion.
I want to talk to the guy who washed cars.
Yes, that's right.
So just get in touch with Spotsylvania Social Services.
Yep, just call the main number and tell them what you're looking to get information on, and they'll get you to the right person.
We're going to take a break and come back, and we'll talk about some of what we touched on. We'll talk about some of the misconceptions and then just how the whole process works. And just knowing some of this information, I think, just makes you feel good. You look at this and you think, there are people that can help me. Because sometimes you just don't know. Who would I talk to?
Right.
So that's what's great about having you both here. Mark Travis is the long-term care supervisor for Spotsylvania Social Services. Amy Swift is here, the director for Spotsylvania Social Services. Appreciate all that they do, and then to be able to talk about this morning. Quick break. Can we continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA? It is 8:31.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking long-term care, Spotsylvania Social Services in this morning. Really, really good stuff. And again, if you have any questions after this and really need to get in touch with people, contact Spotsylvania Social Services and start the conversation of where to go. Mark Travis is the long-term care supervisor. Amy Swift is the director of the department. So misconceptions and things. Well, one of the things, Mark, we often talk about, or you hear about, or you worry about, is the income levels. What do we need to know about that?
The income. So long-term care Medicaid is a little bit different than the other Medicaid programs. So generally speaking, Medicaid, the higher your income goes, the less you'll see on your return from applying for Medicaid. That is not the case as much as it is with other programs as it is with long-term care Medicaid. The income does cap out right around $3,000. If you're over that, you'll be denied for most of our programs. If you're in a facility, a nursing home, that's a different story there. I don't want to get too deep into the weeds because Medicaid is such a long-term care Medicaid is a very complex program.
Yeah.
If you look at our policy manual, it's about 1,800 pages, and about half of that is to do with long-term care and you know, the age-blind, disabled population. So a very long learning curves for the employees to learn it. But there is also the non-financial criteria is citizen of the U.S. of A. and then a Virginia resident.
Okay.
Then after you make it past those hurdles, we do look at your income and your resources. Now, a big thing for resources that make things different is if you're married and your spouse is in the community, not going into a nursing home or not already in a nursing home, then you do get to keep quite a bit of the resources for the what is called a community spouse. DMAS, Department of Medical Assistance Services, which is the home base for Medicaid for Virginia, they realized, I think it was in the late 80s, that Medicaid policy for nursing home recipients could potentially impoverish a community spouse. So they completely revamped their Medicaid long-term care program to protect a certain amount of resources for what is called the community spouse. So it is different if you're married and your spouse is in a community versus if you're not married. So we do look at your income. Like I say, it tops out at about $3,000. Now, if you're not married, your resources, your bank accounts, cash money on hand, life insurance policies, that caps out at $2,000 for an individual. Now, you can set aside $3,500 to be buried with, so you can protect that amount, so to speak. I don't know how far you want me to go, but one vehicle is exempt. Your home is exempt as long as you live in it. The lot that the home is on is exempt. If you have any life insurance policies for children under the age of 18, those are exempt as well. So there are some exemptions that can be had that the client can avail themselves of. So even if you think your resources are above the limit or whatever, I still recommend you apply because you can still get an answer.
Yeah.
And then that way, when the next time rolls around, you'll be, information is power and you'll be more informed to make, better next decisions.
There's a lot of ins and outs to the policy eligibility. And that's why I would always recommend, when in doubt, just try. I mean, the worst thing is no, and then you're no worse off than when you came. And as you were talking, Mark, it's been a long time since I've been in Medicaid policy, but I know that when you're not eligible income-wise for Medicaid, but you do meet the resources, you can do the spend down, which is kind of like an insurance deductible where they have to spend X amount of money based on their income in order to then become eligible for Medicaid. Is that the same for long-term care?
So spend down does apply for long-term care. If you're in a community living at home, you can be on a spend down, but normally because you would have to pay, as an example, for the first half of the month out of pocket, a provider is not willing to allow you to pay out of pocket because they may have trouble collecting and then billing Medicaid for the other half of the month. So we rarely, very rarely see that with anybody that is seeking in-home care to be on a spend down and eligible. Now, for nursing home to be on a spend down, that is different. That's called a prospective spend down, which you can be enrolled in full coverage of Medicaid. And then on the DMAS end, Department of Medical Assistance Services in Richmond, they work it out with the facility about their payment scenario situation there.
Yeah, even when people are over the income, that's why I say apply, because you can go on a spend down. And a spend down is like saying, I have to spend $20,000 before Medicaid will say I'm eligible to be covered by them. But at the same time, if somebody's going through a very expensive, cancer treatment or, whatever they're providing or whatever they're receiving, it's going to be no time at all before you meet that spend down. And then you're eligible, and now Medicaid's going to pick up the bill.
Okay, so all is not lost, even with an initial no.
Right.
All is not lost. That's right. That's correct.
Because you could then go put on a spend down.
Boy, all of this, though, you can see where and that's where to have somebody to be able to sit across the table from you and to be able to describe some things. My head would be spinning.
Yeah. Well, in every case is different, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why it's important. Come have a conversation, and we can answer those questions, and we can kind of give you some guidance on what your journey might look like. But we can't do it in a general way. We have to have your specific situation to be able to properly guide you on the right advice.
Boy, and that's really good advice. And then that's what you say, start looking a number of years ahead, because you might be able to say, this is too much.
Yeah.
Or, this, if as long as you have, this is going to be a problem, and to be able to look at those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it'll help you later on.
Yes.
So again, get in touch with Spotsylvania Social Services or social services in your locality to start having these conversations. So the process. Let's talk about how does this whole process work when a person is looking at this is what's going on, and this is what we're looking at. How do you get the ball rolling?
Fill out an application, whether it's online or paper. Once your application is submitted, the worker will be in touch with you, send you off more than likely what is called a checklist. And this is where we start doing the deep dive into your income and your resources to evaluate all that, which is necessary to do as part of the evaluation process for Medicaid. A typical application can be pending 45 days. There are some exceptions for that. So that's a heavy-duty 45 days. There's a lot of information that's going to be going back and forth, a lot of communication pieces that need to fall into place. So fill out that application, start getting some answers, start providing some information, and we got the trained staff to set you on the right course.
And again, probably to put all that information together is going to take some time. This is kind of like getting your kids ready for college, mm-hmm. of you know, putting all this, you know, kind of just kind of putting all the, just figuring out what you've got.
Yes, and I always say, let me mail you off an application, or you go online and look, and you'll see the depth and the breadth of the questions that we are asking. So you can start getting into that headspace, start acquiring that information, because sometimes, you know, getting information from life insurance companies could be a long, drawn-out process,
right.
Fairly long, which it has gotten shorter in the past couple of years. It's not as long as it used to be, but still, it's a process that you have to go through. You got to start jumping through hoops. You want to start doing it now so that, because once you submit that application, that 45-day clock starts ticking.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, and you're dealing with, you think about this, I guess eventually you and families are dealing with, you know, you're dealing with providers, families, you know, community partners. There's a lot of people involved in this.
There's no other division that I'm aware of in social services benefits division that has to deal with so many different entities that have to come into place here. It's a big jigsaw puzzle. You know, we deal in-house with the services division to do the screenings that we spoke of earlier. Then we deal in with the outside institutions, banks, life insurance companies, trusts, you know, lawyers if they're involved, other family members. You know, sometimes they're not just one point of contact for an application. There's multiple, and communication has to be had with all those different parties. So we communicate with several different entities in-house and outside in the community to get all those pieces to fit together.
I guess you work with a lot of partners, too. You have a lot. I mean, I know the Area Agency on Aging, mm-hmm. in dealing with them, they offer some great resources and in help people as they age. They're a good person to get acquainted with.
There are several great resources. Spotsylvania really has a tremendous amount of resources here, actually. You mentioned the Area Agency on Aging, the Rappahannock Community Services Board,
yeah.
The health department. There's a lot of very good community partners here that could be partnered up with to get some information and get some help and, you know, get next steps, you know, on what you want to do there.
And I guess you're working with, like, with the rehab places and hospitals and all of that.
We're working with the MCOs, you know, the Anthem Healthkeepers, you know, there's a variety of in this area. Working with the providers that provide the in-home services, there are numerous entities that we have to deal with on a daily basis to get everything to fit together for a client.
You do deal with a lot of people, but I would want to deal with you, Mark, because you're so soft-spoken.
Oh, well, thank you.
I would be here going, what am I going to do about this? And what am I going to do about this? And you would be just, well, now, Ted, this is where we're going to start.
Yep, always the calm head in the room.
Yeah, you are incredibly calm.
Oh, well, thank you.
That's what, but you, a person needs that kind of thing.
Yes,
they do.
They do. They sure do.
And that's right. And I guess really with, you know, department wide, Amy, that's what you're doing. You're never dealing with people on their best days.
Exactly.
On all the things that
right.
you're dealing with.
And we always remind staff of that, that people, when they're coming to our door, that, you know, we're not always expecting them to be showing up in their best self because they're in crisis usually. And that, you know, we are reminding ourselves to always be cognizant of that and understanding of that.
Yeah, because if you're having to tell me in each case when you're saying the answer is going to be no, you're basing that off of the guidelines. But if I don't want to hear that, or that's just, you know, you get to the end of your rope sometimes.
Right.
You do. You mentioned earlier about the being able to give the good news. You know, there is good news to be given, but
yeah.
along with that is also given the bad news as well. So, you know, it's a mixed bag of things, but at least we're grounded in policy and know that we're at least giving you the accurate answer.
Well, and Amy mentioned it earlier, it's an increasing, you know, an aging population in Spotsylvania. A lot of us moved here years ago, and we've aged here, and it is happening. I just noticed just the number of funerals I've gone to this year. It's just all of a sudden you realize a lot of people that you've been around for a long time, and it's happening in Spotsylvania. I think some of these high growth areas where a lot of people have moved and stayed, and you know, and now people are aging here.
Yes, that's exactly right. We did a presentation a couple years ago where we, you know, used some census data to find out. I think we had about 155,000 people here in Spotsylvania. I think about 7% or so. I'm a little bit iffy on that percentage, but there is an aging population here across America as well.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm with you about being aware of more funerals. I totally agree with you on that.
Well, and then I'm sure out in the field and you know, just in some of these careers with people you're working with, there's a shortage in a lot of areas, and I know with aging there is in that field.
There is a shortage there. We're doing our best to try to shore that up, but there is a shortage here. I think it's kind of across the board with just about everything. I think you can go to Burger King or something, and they got a shortage there as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we've all waited. Could I get my hamburger a little quicker, please?
That's right.
But, well, and the other thing, the other kind of elephant in the room as we talk about this that's scary is just the cost. You look at this and you see things and you just think, would I ever be able to afford that kind of thing? And that's a scary thing.
Yes, a private pay caregiver coming in the home. I mean, you're probably looking at, you know, an 8-hour day is easily over $100.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A nursing home stay is right around $7,000 a month average pay. So it can really add up very quickly.
And so that goes back to, you know, 10 years out, start thinking about this kind of thing.
Start thinking now. Yeah. And, you know, and again, I know we talk a lot about the aging, but it's not just for the aging. It's for people who are severely disabled that require, you know, in-home care, companion care, and companion care can run $30 to $40 an hour. And so when you're talking an 8-hour day, you know, that's a lot of money. And
it really adds up, like you say. And Amy's right, it's not just for the age disabled. It can be children under the age of 18. It's full spectrum. It's across all population density levels, age categories, education levels, everything.
But the fact that you guys are there and there is somebody to talk to, I think that's a great takeaway of this, because I've often wondered on these things, if I had to deal with this, who in the world would I talk to?
Well, and even if we, social services, can't provide services, we can help connect you to services, you know, in the area that can help.
That's right.
So it's still worth the conversation.
Yeah. And just having the conversation, you can set up a plan and kind of know what some of the next steps are and start to try to figure out, you know, how you're going to get to that next step.
This is a complex process to navigate, and having information can help you navigate that complex process and really, you know, put you in a better space to be able to deal and cope with some of the trials and tribulations that may be ahead for you.
And we all think that won't be me, but we don't know.
Right.
And that's why it's good that you're here. Mark Travis, the long care supervisor for Spotsylvania Social Services, here this morning. Amy Swift, the director of social services in the county. Long-term care, our focus. Quick break, and we'll conclude this morning. We'll wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning, as always, with Spotsylvania Social Services. Amy Swift and Mark Travis here from Spotsylvania Social Services. Long-term care, and really, Mark Travis, we are talking about not only long-term care, but just preparing, starting to think. And it's probably never too early, you know, when you get when you get in the your upper 40s or 50s, you at least need to start thinking about these things.
You're totally right. Being in my late 50s, I've been exposed to some things I haven't been exposed to before. So I think having the capability to have a sounding board for any questions or concerns that you may have is very important at certain stages of life. And that's no different here. Never hurt to ask questions, try to get some answers, be prepared. You know, preparation can be key to overcoming some hardships in life.
Well, and again, like we said, even if the answer is no, ask some questions and don't assume because you Googled it or because your friend's cousin had this situation.
Right.
I mean, you talked about that, Amy. That I mean, you can make some really
big
bad choices.
Yeah. And it's best to come and have a conversation. And I think I say this every time I come here that, you know, just come and talk to us. If, you know, if you're sitting at home and struggling with something and you're like, oh my gosh, where do I turn? Call us and maybe we can help. And if we can't, we probably know where to send you. And so, you know, on any related issue, it doesn't have to be just long-term care because it's better to get the information from the horse's mouth where it's based in, you know, policy and accuracy rather than going off some advice or hearsay, and then you're making a mistake that's going to, you know, bite you in the end.
Yeah, because so many, especially the incomer, you know, someone will tell you, you can't have that house, you know, that's,
right.
You better get, you know, or you better do this and you better do that. Instead of taking that advice, talk to some people
and
find out if that's right, because you'd hate to be told, oh, you should never have done that. That's
right.
Created a whole new set of problems.
Mm-hmm.
You're both right. I'll echo that. Forever, you know, always ask some questions. Never hurts to reach out, get some answers. Even if you're told no, you're still in a better place regardless.
Yeah, you're no today, but it may be, that may change later. Boy, Mark, I can't imagine with you just having to just stay up to date on, you know, Medicaid guidelines or, you know, what's, I'm sure that there's a lot of, You're dealing with a lot of moving parts at times.
There are a lot of moving parts, a tremendous amount of policy, a very long learning curve to get familiar with long-term care Medicaid. I've been doing this job for 30 years, and I am still in the policy manual probably three times a week having to get some answers, even after all this time.
After 30 years, isn't that amazing?
After 30 years of doing this job, I'm still in the manual.
Has it gotten easier over the years, or is it...
Familiarity is there, so I can navigate situations better, but this is still a challenging job.
Yeah.
You know, challenging job, very long learning curve. You know, you're probably looking... I was just talking the other day, equivalent to becoming just a generic baseline worker is probably equivalent to a two-year college degree at a, you know, community college.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... there's a lot of information, a lot of policy, you know, a lot of things to do, computer systems to deal with and learn and navigate. It's a very complex process that we do.
And just dealing with people. I mean, this is a tough time in life. And if you were dealing with me and I was, you know, speaking for my parents, I might sometimes lose my cool here and there, or, you know, not want to hear what you have to say or just get frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we can, you know, we can have some empathy, so I may help take the edge off of things, but there is that aspect of it where, you know, we have to listen because there may be some venting that has to go on initially to allow the person and the worker to be in the right place to then proceed with, you know, the process.
It doesn't have to be isolating. You mentioned the word isolating, and that's so important that you don't have to feel isolated in this.
Yes, exactly. You are not alone. Come talk to us. Come talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
Questions are free.
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you do, Amy. When you say you will say if you've got questions, just come and talk to us
and ask.
That's all you got to do. Amy Swift is the director of Spotsylvania Social Services. Mark Travis, the long-term care supervisor. Great topic and great information. Mark, great to have you in this morning. Good to see you, Amy. And
we'll
do this again. Thank you for Spotsylvania Social Services because what you're providing for families and caregivers and all. It's good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
That is it. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.